Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And this is Jeff Ellis, and welcome to June 1st, 2010.
June 1st already. Episode 6.10, the 2007 Draft Review Show, Jeffrey.
The 2007 Draft Review Show is 2010.
Going back in the time machine three years.
Time machine? I love the time machine.
Yes, and going back to 2007, where the Oakland Raiders had the number one pick, we'll take a look at that, as well as what all the other teams did back then.
Got NFL news coming up for you, and we also have the response to the most answered poll in the history of NFL Rants and Raves.
The results, yes. You're right.
You're right. I appreciate it.
The most responses we have received any poll we've put up ever. So I guess people really wanted to.
They wanted to weigh in on that.
Wanted to weigh in on the franchise.
The franchise
state of the franchise quarterback. And yeah, lots of news to talk about. We have to mention Big Ben again.
Big Ben again, and we have to do a Favre watch.
Do we?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, all of that coming up in just a moment. Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves. All right, Jeffrey, first of all, I want to do a little housekeeping for our peeps listening.
Okay. Now, for those of you listening in December,
this probably not apply to you. But for everyone else, just so you know, and this is not really for everyone. This is for more the new listener.
We'd call you noobs, but that's not polite because you're listening.
The newcomers that have come since
late joiners in the last
season.
Yeah.
Or so.
Yeah.
Weren't with us last offseason. Usually what we do in the offseason is we do a show.
We treat it like the offseason.
Yeah,
Steven.
It's the offseason. Obviously, there's not a ton of stuff happening in the NFL. And then once the combine and the draft are over, you kind of just sit and wait for training camps. Yeah, there's OTAs, and we could, you know, come and do a show and talk about, you know, so-and-so sprained their left pinky at OTA the other day. But
we want to keep the show really live and energetic and full of really pertinent news, not just stuff to fill stuff.
And Jeffrey, you know, sometimes he'll fall asleep if we're not talking about something that doesn't interest him.
Well, I've only fallen asleep twice during the show, Steven.
There you go.
No, I've never fallen asleep.
No, you
in a
haven't.
Show.
You haven't. But this is episode 6.10. We're gonna go back in time, and basically, this is the.
I love the back in time.
We're
Hang
gonna
on.
Give
here,
you.
Here we go. I'm not gonna play Huey Lewis back in time because that song annoyed me. There, I like
yeah,
that.
That annoys me. I'd much rather hear Huey Lewis in the news back in time.
Because
we're going to go back in time.
I hate songs that are forcibly written for a movie.
Well, it was written for a movie.
It was forcibly
back
written
to the future.
To a movie.
The movie was awesome.
The first two were entertaining. The last one was lame.
I don't know. The Wild Wild West was pretty cool.
No, anytime you shoot two movies simultaneously, they usually turn out badly.
Well, yeah.
One of them does.
And
Robert Zemeckis, come on. Don't get lazy, man.
I thought it was Zemeckis.
Well, I don't know, but apparently we're not working with him anymore.
You weren't. I said I loved him.
I loved him. Even though it wasn't very good, I loved him.
I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah.
Saw Prince of Persia, Sands of Time.
I'm sorry.
Hey, the $10 I paid to go see the movie, the eye candy was well worth the $10, dog.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even know what her name was, but I was like,
"You want to say thank you?"
Yeah, yeah.
Steven does a head bob.
That's
full head bob with the
The scene where they make her come out. They make her come out in a Princess Leia-like golden bikini.
So the pre-Jabba the Hutt.
Yes. Exactly. That's the Jedi. That's the Jabba the Hutt scene right there.
Well, hopefully there was.
And she
gross
had
like that.
One. Where, yeah, there was nothing. She just comes walking out in it.
Nice.
Serving drinks.
Nice.
And you're like, I would buy a drink from her.
I don't care what it is. It
she could
be acid,
selling me poison.
Battery acid. And I'll
I'm
buy two.
I'm going to buy that.
I'll buy two. Thank you.
So anyways.
Well, the missus and I went and saw Iron Man 2. Well
it's
worth
it. About time. Well worth,
I'm sorry. I know. We're always, we like to make
Hello?
Sure. We like to make sure we're not disappointed at all.
That came out, what, 6 weeks ago?
Four. But it was, it came out a couple days before the Friday release.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. Very, very entertaining. I thought it was probably better than the first one.
Okay.
No spoiler alerts, but do stay all the way through the credits. All the way
yes.
through the credits.
Yes. Trisha,
through
I made
darkness.
Trisha stay through the credits, and she was not very happy with me at the end.
Well, it's
but,
not
and
a
it's
lot.
Because she
but,
didn't she didn't understand. She didn't get it.
Well, yeah, you have to. Well,
you
it doesn't,
have to
whether
know.
You get it or not, all they're saying, minimally, this is not a spoiler, is that the series isn't done.
Yes.
That's
yes.
all they're minimally, even if you don't never read the comic books or anything,
yes.
what they're saying is it's we're not done yet. We've
yes.
got more to do. We got more to say. We got more coming.
Well, and it's really cool. That's how
they just tease it a little
bit.
The
first one ended that way with a little thing at the end.
Did it?
It did.
I don't think I stayed all the way through. No.
I see. Well, in the at the end of the first one, you stay through all the credits, and Iron Man comes back home, and Samuel L. Jackson's character is
Not!
In his house.
Is it the first one?
Yes. And he's in his house, and he's like, so you're Iron Man, huh?
Wow.
Like, I'd like to talk to you about the Avenger Initiative. And that's
how,
that's how it ends. The first one, I kid you
they
not.
They teed up the whole
the
second
whole
one in the first one?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, it was really good. And I had missed it. I had to go back
yeah.
to see it.
Had to go back in time. God, I hate that song. Huey Lewis, man, you talk about a sellout. I mean, I'll be
I
a
want
sellout.
A new
One the world make me sick.
Ah, man.
One the world
keep
me
I
up
used to
all
love
night.
Huey Lewis in the
make
news.
Me feel 3 feet thick.
Yeah. I wanted to be Huey Lewis, by the way.
Wow, kind of a big dorky white guy
yeah.
that made a lot of
yeah,
money.
Yeah, that made a lot of money and had a lot of chicks.
5 years and out. Five and out. Just boom. I'm gone.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
I've never understood the people who are like, yeah, so he was a one-hit wonder. Yeah, but do you know how much money
you can make
he made
one?
From that one hit?
Steven, I heard an account that I believe it was the song Yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And Paul McCartney makes more money every day from that song having been written than all the rest of his business ventures combined.
See?
Daily.
See?
Just that one song. And it's a perfect song.
Right.
So I'm not putting it down or saying anything ill about it. However, it is kind of creepy how one thing can pretty much set you.
It's, you know, it's the thing. If you have the one thing. I mean, look at Bart. Bart Simpson.
Okay, I'm thinking the rapid transit in the Bay Area, the Bart.
Bart
Bay
Simpson
Area rapid transit.
Has lived, what, 20 years on that one line?
Being in fourth grade. What a loser.
Dude, you freaking just...
Let
couldn't
you have
they
your
at least let him grow
yeah.
up?
Make it to fifth grade? Come on. Just skip him. That's what they do with kids today anyways. They just
That's
advance
right.
you. Just...
Yeah, we can't keep you behind, so we're just going to move you to the
no
next grade.
No student left behind. Come on. You're moving.
Unless you're just really just butt
Bart
dumb.
Simpson.
Yeah, Bart
so
Simpson.
The line was...
Ay, caramba!
You think that line carried him?
Ay, caramba made him Bart Simpson.
I don't know.
Without Ay, caramba, there is no Bart Simpson today.
I disagree.
What is the line you think made Bart Simpson?
It was Don't Have a Cow, Man.
Okay, that was pretty good, too.
Dang.
Okay, that was pretty, that was
you
pretty
sold
good.
Out pretty quickly on that.
I forgot about that one.
That was pretty big.
Yeah, that
I
was,
mean, that
was
on
pretty,
T-shirts, you
that
know?
That was. But so was Ay, caramba for a long time.
He also said, Mom, can we go Catholic so we can get communion wafers
yeah,
and booze?
Yeah, that somehow didn't carry the same weight.
No. Dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves for thanks for nothing.
Oh, God. Jeff's now
wow.
pulled out the Bart Simpson
Christmas
line
Christmas is a
handbook.
Time when people of all religions come together to worship Jesus.
From all religions? Oh, gosh.
Yes. Wow. Sorry. But, yeah, no, to me it was always the...
Don't Have a Cow.
Don't Have a Cow, Man.
Right.
And then just him
I
saying Homer
a,
and calling
him,
calling his dad Homer.
Well, Homer's dough. I mean, you can't, I mean.
Well, no, him calling Homer, Homer.
Yeah, but no, but Homer saying dough.
Well, in fact, I was reading on
I
the
mean,
BBC.
Dough became dough. I mean.
It used to be money. Now it's just Homer is associated with it. I was reading on the BBC this morning that Homer is the greatest TV character of all time, according to, I'm now going to read
according
from the BBC.
According to Brits?
Homer Simpson has been named the greatest TV and film character of the last 20 years, according to Entertainment Weekly survey.
Who did they survey? A bunch of kids?
Probably not, Stephen, given that you and I were watching this on the Tracy Ullman show back 25 years ago, okay?
Okay.
The cartoon character best known for his love of eating...
drinking.
Eating. Beat schoolboy wizard Harry Potter to the top slot. People relate to Homer because we're all secretly propelled to desires we cannot admit to, Matt Groening told Us Magazine. Buffy the Vampire Slayer came in third. So I think this is a pretty
good
poll.
Wait a minute.
Greatest TV
Homer,
character. Yeah, maybe.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter's not a TV character.
They said TV or film.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate you listening to my words because I don't listen to myself.
No, I don't.
Harry Potter and Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
One, two, and three. Seriously?
Tony Soprano, which, again, could not be in the top five because Tony Soprano was on The Sopranos, which was on HBO, which is in how many households?
Five.
Yeah. Well, I mean, seriously. I mean, you watched it and you loved it, and that's great. And I look forward to seeing it someday. But I don't pay for, I don't do pay movie channels on my satellite system. Yes. I just don't want to spend my money that way.
I should make an announcement that, you know, we did leave DirecTV and made the jump to AT&T U-verse.
And how's it gone?
It's great. And they,
and if AT&T wants to pay to sponsor the show,
they loved us.
The Ellis family might do it too.
Because they loved us so much, we've got every movie channel conceivably known to man.
But to be fair,
every sports channel conceivably known to man.
But they still have the blackout restrictions and things.
No.
Yes, they do.
No.
You can't turn on a Rockies game.
I told them
game.
That if I can't turn on Fox Sports whatever Midwest.
Rocky Mountains.
And get St. Louis, then I'm out. I haven't had to be out yet. So
well,
they're doing a good job. I don't know what they're doing.
Illegal. Whoever did your installation is now being investigated by 7 branches of. Wait, there's 10 branches now under the Obama administration.
Oh gosh.
So yeah. I don't know that I buy this completely. Tony Soprano. It's like, come on. How many people have HBO? And then Rachel from Friends was in the top 10.
Dude, she was hot. So
she
could have been
is.
Number one.
She still
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you're right. She's still
Johnny
is.
Depp's
yeah,
Edward Scissorhands.
Some paparazzi dude caught her like in France in the beach wearing virtually almost nothing.
Yeah. What's
how
the website?
How does she do it?
What's the website?
TMZ. TMZ's got all those pictures.
Do they?
Yeah.
Like I could go there now. Just hypothetically.
Jeff's now
hypothetically,
trying to go to TMZ.com. But no, I'm serious. I don't even know how they do it. And the other one, what was the girl?
Why
the girl,
do you
the
take...
Girl, the girl, the girl.
A girl,
the
a girl you want.
Redhead, enchanted.
Amy
Adams.
Amy, good pull.
Thank you very much. So good Amy pull. Adams is also, you know, she was also at the same beach. Not at the same time, but the same beach in France. Because, you know, the
it's a clothing
festival.
Optional. And they're there for cons.
And so it's like.
And they didn't think that somebody with a $2
billion camera with a $2 billion zoom lens.
Well, that's what I was saying. A $2 billion millimeter. I can't even say millimeter zoom lens. Yeah. Would be up in the cliffs of cons.
So anyways.
Filming
but it's
the clothing
like,
optional beaches.
Okay, first of all, where do they buy these bikinis where it just covers just. Enough.
Well, there was the gal at the beach the other day when we were at Zuma that had the bikini that covered just enough.
Well, yeah,
and
but that was for a different reason.
If she had 75 of those bikinis, it wouldn't have covered enough.
That's horrible.
Am I right? I'm horrible.
Well,
fine. Am I right?
By the way, the beach was nice.
The beach was lovely.
I don't get the beach, though. I
Steve's not a beach guy.
My wife and my kids, and I explained to them, I don't get the driving hour and a half to get to a beach to sit in a chair and look at the water. Because they don't get in the water, except Elena does.
Elena gets in the water.
But Emma and Trisha don't. They just sit there and watch.
And me.
And then you get sand everywhere. Like my car, there's still sand all over my car.
Son of a...
So I got to go now and, you know...
Get detail.
Yeah, get detail. Get all the sand out of it. And I don't get it. I was like, we got a great pool in the backyard. Let's just go jump in that.
And it's not about jumping in it. It's about staring at it. It's about what it does. Steven, here's the
stare
thing.
Stare at it.
So,
what did it do?
Our traditional,
all it did is irk me.
Our traditional memorial tradition.
Yeah, you guys broke it. Well, I'm not. You know what? And I'm still bent at all of you for not even including me in the decision of whether we're going to do it or not.
No one talked to you.
No. Until it was over. Until my wife. Until Trisha came to me and said, "Yeah, we're not doing it."
She started it. She came to me and she said, "What's up?" And I said, And she said, "What about mom?" And I said, "I don't know. I'll call her and see." And then
bent.
Okay, fine. Well, here's the deal. Our traditional Memorial Day weekend. By the way, God bless our troops, those who have served, those who are serving. Yes. Specifically, we can call out Captain McClain and Captain Kaiser.
Yes.
We want to call you guys out specifically, and the men on your ships, that and the women who serve on your ships. And we
and there's tip our we got caps we have you. Some gentlemen who listen
lot,
who are
a lot of military
in Iraq,
people
overseas and stuff,
because you know, for some reason you can't get Sports Center over there. I don't know why. But you can still get our podcast. You get in any internet connection, you can still get our podcast,
right,
which is the best reason to keep doing it.
But thank you very much for doing what you do.
On that note, our tradition of honoring our troops was to go to Palm Springs and stare out at golf courses and the desert. And I personally find that so incredibly relaxing and soothing, Stephen. And it's a similar thing that I get at the ocean.
I see. I do not get relaxed or soothed by just looking out at the ocean. As a matter of fact, I get a little annoyed because it won't be quiet.
Yeah,
and then someone turns it off for just like a second, and I'm like, oh.
When Steven says turn off the ocean, what he means is there's no white caps at any time.
Peace and came over that.
And I think it's that volume for your wife, my sister, and most people that they find very relaxing. That's why a lot of wave machines are sold as relaxation devices.
I'm getting into that business.
Well, you hate it.
I'm
why would
start
you get into
selling
that business?
Wave machines. Because if people buy
them, I think
it'd
be a lot cheaper to sell silence.
What if I buy wave machine? What if I make a wave machine and I just go like,
I think my gag is funnier than yours, and you just blew mine off.
I'm sorry.
Selling silence.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a lot cheaper
to
produce.
You can actually
You have a little box, and you plug it in, and beautiful as it is, because it's very environmental, it actually draws no current, so there's no carbon footprint. And you turn it on, and you can turn it all the way up to 11, and you know what? Nothing.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
It's very relaxing. Silence is very relaxing to you. To me, the sound of the ocean is very relaxing, which is why I like cruising. I love just sitting out on the ship and listening to the waves crash against the ship as the ship cuts through. I love
it. Seagulls quacking. Quack, quack.
Well,
trying to eat your food.
Not that far off. Not out in sea. That's when you're in ports
and things like that. Well, you know.
I don't like to be in port. I like to be out at sea. Yeah, seagulls when you're at the beach. There's a lot of them picking at your food and stuff like that.
It was a
lovely day. And, Stephen, you were a good sport, being that you don't care for the beach. You were lots of fun.
Yes.
Buried my daughter, and she's grateful for that.
Yes.
And you played football with Jordan and hucked it around. How's the boy's arm look? Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't throw a spiral to save his life.
He's a baseball player, Steven.
Doesn't matter. He got to throw
He's
a spiral.
He's a baseball player. He can
throw
a
two-seam. I'm throwing
spirals
at age 40. And I'm throwing bullets. He even came up to me and was like, yeah, that one hurt.
It don't hurt him. He's the farm.
Yeah, I know. I didn't
He's
mean
the franchise.
To hurt him, but I could still chuck the ball.
He's the franchise, man. He's my Todd Marinovich.
he's sending them back to me with nice little arcs.
Because he plays long
toss. Throwing like straight
well,
on
he's actually practicing
bullets.
While he's throwing with
I
you.
I see, okay.
He's stretching out his labrum and making sure that his rotator cuff is healthy and things like that.
Good, good. It was fun tossing the football. I want to toss more footballs.
Yeah, well, the thing is, so that's our typical Memorial Day. A friend on Facebook was at Palm Springs this weekend and wrote just this beautiful tome on why she loves looking at the desert and how relaxing it is.
Yeah.
And everybody needs some relaxing, happy place that they go to that just sends them to a zen state of just peacefulness.
I guess I need to find what my relaxing
You do, happy place because let is. Me tell you, sitting in your backyard staring at the pool is not the same as being at the beach. Like your pool.
See, that's pretty relaxing when I'm laying on
it
the
is
lounge
to you.
And I'm just kind of just looking at the girls play there and stuff. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no.
And I got really relaxed last night. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
You know, the Cubans do that to me. They make
me a
little...
There were no Cubans over at Steven's house yesterday, to be clear. There was mostly white people.
There were
and
no
a few African Americans, but there were no Cubans.
Okay, the rolled up stuff.
The rolled up cigar shaped things that we smoked.
Yes, that may or may not have come from Cuba.
Yeah. Yeah. No, probably not. I mean, because that'd be illegal.
Yeah. Right. They always kind of just put me in a happy place.
Well, that's because smoking a Cuban is one of the most. Well, if you had a Cuban, you would smoke it, you know, not in America.
Yes. And you wouldn't smoke a human being Cuban.
Although I'm not, I am opposed to trying.
Okay.
Just to be clear.
Anyways, that was good stuff. But let's get to the poll, shall we?
Yeah, Homer Simpson named greatest TV character
not
of all
that
time.
Poll.
Oh, sorry.
My gosh.
Don't!
So for the first time in the history of NFL rants and raves, just about 400 people came out and gave us their opinion. That was a ton.
For us to get 400 of y'all to weigh in, we got no problem getting tens of thousands of you to listen.
Right.
But to actually do something.
Yeah, to actually get
to
you to
do
come
something,
out and do it.
Do something. Good. There's the same 400, by the way, who do things. Like say, here's $5. Thanks for so much for the show.
Right.
It's the same 400. And we say, we need to blitz and we need only people in the UK to respond. We'll get a couple hundred of you. Same guys. Same folks. Same ladies, too.
We love those.
And we love you 400 more than everybody else.
And we know
more than
everybody else who listens, too.
But not as much. Let's just be honest.
You are a boob. But anyway.
I'm feeling it this morning.
The franchise quarterback, the debate of the franchise quarterback continues. This is what was written. Steven and Jeff continue to debate regarding franchise quarterbacks. Help them with their debate and as they try to find out which teams have a quarterback that is worthy of this moniker. In Jeff's article, The Elusive Franchise Quarterback, which you can read here, and there was a link, he says the following regarding the criteria for a franchise quarterback. Ability, winning, leadership, and the rare attribute of making teammates better than they would otherwise be.
I think that's a good
definition. The newest criteria, a quarterback who keeps himself out of the headlines for the wrong reason.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Now, so we said, keeping that in mind, people, keep that in mind as you answer the following questions regarding the 32 starting quarterbacks. Now, please bear in mind that when we had posted this, Jamarcus Russell.
What was the date? What
was
the date?
The quarterback. Sorry.
Approximate date. You know what? I hear Little Lee screaming right now. I want a time and date stamp on everything. We hear you.
Yes.
We hear you. We're going to ignore it, but we hear you.
So anyways, Jamarcus Russell was the quarterback of the Oakland Raiders, and so he was the name that was put for Oakland Raiders. Jeffrey, real quickly, before we begin, there were 32 quarterbacks named. Four quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3, 4, received 0 votes. Not a single person marked these four quarterbacks on their list. And I'm just going to go ahead and give you Jamarcus Russell because, you know, he wasn't even on a team anymore. But there you go. He got no votes. So what were the other three quarterbacks that received 0 votes?
I'm working on it. Okay. I'm going to go with Sam Bradford et al. In the Rams organization.
So whoever's quarterbacking the Rams... You would be wrong.
What? Somebody Sam gave a Bradford, vote to Sam Bradford?
Sam Bradford. 22 people gave votes.
You guys are Sam all Bradford. Freaking homers. Get over yourselves and wake up and smell the coffee. You ain't done nothing in the NFL. You ain't done nothing. Okay.
But he may be the face of, he may be a franchise quarterback.
How has he made players in the NFL better than they would already be? If he hasn't played a game. I'm just asking, is all. Okay. I'm also going with Trent Edwards up in Buffalo.
Trent Edwards got a big fat 0 goose egg. You
okay.
got one correct there.
And I would have gotten Jamarcus. That was easy. And let's see here. Floating around the league. Boy, I'm thinking that it's quite possible that Boy, I wonder how people feel. Well, I'm just trying to figure out how people feel about the South Florida quarterback. Specifically, I'm thinking of Josh Freeman. If Freeman would possibly
of
have gotten
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He didn't get many votes, but he got 11.
Wow.
So he got some.
I would like explanation. You know, there's some of these people, seriously, that you just want to say.
When Josh got the starting bid finally last year, he came in and he played some pretty good
ball. I didn't say he didn't play well. But what about Chad Henne, who's won a number of games?
Chad Henne wasn't listed as the starting quarterback for the
Who
Miami
was?
Dolphins.
Pennington?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then Chad Pennington certainly shouldn't have gotten any.
He got 11.
This is ridiculous. Because there
were
are
400.
People.
So when you only get 11, that's nothing. That's 2.8%. That's okay. Bad. I think if you got less than 5%, you might as well have just gotten zero.
But you're asking me, now, wait. Okay. In the Arizona situation, had Kurt Warner retired at that point?
Yes.
Matty Leinart.
Matt Leinart got no votes.
Nice. Couldn't happen to
so
a
that
Sweller beer bong
with
guy.
One more player.
Boy.
So far, we got Jamarcus Russell, Matt Leinart, and Trent Edwards with zero goose eggs on the voting category.
I am very curious how the people felt about David Garrard.
David Garrard,
but he probably got
okay.
A couple.
He got 8 votes.
Hmm. Wow. I'm gonna
give you the last one so that we could move on with this great.
I thought it was kind of interesting. Apparently, I was wrong. Now, Jason Campbell would be at the Redskins, but I'm sure he got a few votes.
Actually, no, we had made that change.
Well, you said Jamarcus Russell was gone, but he was there, but
Donovan McNabb is listed as a Washington Redskins.
Okay, well then let's go Kevin Corn on the Cobb.
Kevin Corn on the Cobb
shouldn't have gotten anything
for the Philadelphia Eagles. Got 15 votes.
What, you guys are homers up there? Dang. I mean, because that means that somebody
the
legitimate
other quarterback
who's
who
actually
didn't get
played,
a single vote. Carolina Panthers, Matt Moore.
Okay, see, I didn't know that necessarily that what's his name had moved by then. That
he had. He was gone. Jake DeLome.
Okay.
And Jake DeLome, for that matter, he only got 2 votes. So that's like zero.
Wow. And see, and this proves in my column, which I like the column. It was that you can be a franchise quarterback one day and the next over time you can lose that status.
Well, let's get to the debate here, okay?
All right, bring
here
it on.
Here are the three that everybody just pretty much
agreed
upon.
Okay, so this I know I can pull out. I can pull out Tom Brady. I can pull out Peyton Manning and Brett Favre.
Nah, no.
Wow.
Brett Favre didn't get a lot of love.
Wow.
Here were my four. My four were, without a doubt, you
well,
can't question
Well, because they're going
it,
into the Hall of
Peyton
Fame.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Tom Brady. Drew Brees,
nice.
And Brett Favre. I said,
but three
I,
of
look,
those four
when your votes
have already
came in,
punched for the Hall.
When your votes came in, I was like, if you don't have those four, I'm going to flag you because I need to look a little bit deeper to see who you actually picked because you're probably a fan of teams that play against these teams.
Yeah.
If you kept Peyton Manning, or Tom Brady, or Brett Favre, or Drew Brees off your list.
Well, Drew Brees certainly is worthy, but three of those four have already punched their tickets to Canton.
Yes.
They could go and start molesting collies, and they will end up, not Austin Collie.
I was like,
and they
wow,
could end
the
up,
wide receiver for the Indianapolis
no,
Colts?
No, not Austin Collie. And they could end up in Canton no matter what.
Right.
They're done. They're first ballot Hall of Famers. So if that doesn't make you worthy of being a franchise quarterback, there's no such thing.
So anyways, the highest rated quarterback that most people selected was Peyton Manning, 97.7% of the 400.
Good.
Got it.
I'm
so
shocked at the people
the
who
other,
didn't vote for
yeah, the other
those
2.3%.
Those are people who hate their big Texans fans
and, so
and Jaguars
I did.
Fans.
I did a little digging.
They all picked
and they were, they,
Matt
they
Schaub
were the people
or
that
David
picked
Girard.
The David Girard and the Matt Schaubs, but they didn't have Peyton Manning. I'm like, come on. You can't be that obvious. Okay? You can't be that obvious that you would keep Peyton
and
Manning
Vince Young.
Off. And yeah, there were a couple people who took Vince Young.
Well, of course, and didn't have Peyton Manning because they're fans of the AFC South.
Exactly. So there's that. Second place was New England Patriots' Tom Brady. 96.4%. Look,
plenty of haters. Plenty of haters.
I can't even keep him off my list.
It's stupid. He's already done enough to go to Canton.
Right.
You would be an immoral person. So did I say immoral?
I found that a lot of Jets fans who had Mark Sanchez on their list didn't have Tom Brady on their list.
But did you have any Chad Henne / Chad Pennington fans keep him off?
No.
Okay, so Miami fans are more honest than Jets fans.
Just a little bit.
And as far as Buffalo Bills fans.
Bills fans are honest. They didn't even vote for Trent Edwards.
Right, they didn't vote for their own guy. Which, hats off to you, because you don't have one, and you're honest.
Then in third place came...
That really tells you a lot about regionally, Stephen. Yeah. That there are more New Yorkers that would just lie to themselves than there are in upstate New York.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the Manhattan area, they're going to lie to themselves. No, we're the greatest. And up in upstate New York, over by where it gets really, really cold. We got to talk about Super Bowls, man.
Yeah, well,
the Super
Cold Bowl. We'll get to news.
We
in
will.
A moment.
But those people are brutally honest because there's, you know.
So, and then third place, rounding up to top three, was Drew Brees with 95.3%.
Good.
So it went Manning, the good one, Peyton.
Right.
97.7. Tom Brady, 96.4. And Drew Brees at 95.3.
And then,
now, here where all the questions come in after that, okay?
For good reason. I think
after the 95.3%, okay?
You got to go Phillip Rivers here.
Dude. Phillip Rivers is in the next bracket.
And
the next bracket of quarterbacks all got between 74 and 79%. So we went from 95.3
big fall
to between 74 and 79%. Let's talk about those quarterbacks to see whether you and I agree on whether they should be there or not. Okay? First, we'll start at 78.2%.
You're going to have...
Oh, and by the way, that group doesn't include Brett Favre. So we're already just telling the people out there that listen to the show who took the time to go, I don't know, you all just hate Brett Favre or something. Dude's got to be a franchise quarterback.
You're welcome to hate any player that you want, but be honest about what they've done.
Dude's a franchise quarterback. I don't care what you say. Brett Favre's a franchise quarterback. He was even a franchise quarterback for the Jets.
Yeah.
They won more game with him as their quarterback, even though he was halfway hurt through half the season.
Playing with broken bones.
And they won more games than they had the previous 3 years.
Okay, so our next grouping is going to include the likes of Carson Palmer. I don't have it in front of me, so I'm just guessing.
Don't. So
Carson Palmer,
you would be wrong.
Whoa!
Let me give them to you because there's only four of them.
Okay. Well, if there's only four, I love this game, Stephen. I know you don't think it's good radio, but it sure is a fun game. If we were sitting smoking, say, a Cuban, this would be a fun, not a person.
We
by
would
the way.
Be doing that in Cuba.
Yeah, we
or
would
be. Or Mexico, because it's a lot in Mexico.
Or any other country. Just saying.
London.
London,
when
baby.
When we go to London, why don't
there's
we
nowhere
do...
to smoke in London. That's
really?
Why. They've taken
Is
it
that
away.
Why didn't,
yeah, if
didn't...
you think about smoking, you get a ticket in London.
Wow. But we have friends who are police officers.
What, they're going to look the other way?
Wouldn't they?
We're going to ask them to break the law for us?
No, we can't make them do that. Actually, I did... Okay. We can do that. But let's get to the quarterbacks. All right, so those quarterbacks, who do you think they are,
Jeff? Okay, so Eli, Tony Romo, maybe even Big Ben, and they just disregarded my thing that there's a new status that says you have to not get in trouble.
No, they did not disregard your thing. They did not. The next three quarterbacks, are the only one you got correct was Tony Romo.
Okay.
He's at 74.4%.
Good.
And for everybody who kept him off the list, just remember
Donovan
this.
Oh, Donovan McNabb still needs to be in there?
Yeah, he's not in there.
What? Jeez Louise. You go to the NFC Championship game 5 out of 8 years, and they say that you're not reliable?
There you go.
What is this?
So anyways, hear about Romo. For everybody who kept him off the list, and there was a lot of you, and mostly you were Eagles fans and Giants fans
and Redskins fans.
But you keep him off your list. Remember this. Since the departure of Troy Aikman, the Cowboys went through 11.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
quarterbacks.
8, 9, 10, 11. That's a lot. That's almost as many as the Raiders, okay?
Until Tony Romo came in to solidify that position and actually do well at that position. So
they had gone through so many quarterbacks that we actually had time to talk to Tony Romo before he was ever a starter.
Exactly.
Because we had, and he's a superstar. He's a legit superstar. We talked to him for a long time because he hadn't taken the throne yet and grasped it by the horns, the bull by the horns, and just hung on for dear life, and he's done it well.
So the other two are Phillip Rivers in San Diego.
Good.
And Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
Wow. Aaron getting a lot of love.
Aaron getting a lot of love by a lot of Green
and
Bay
I
fans.
Like I he's one of he hey. He's one of my he's certainly one of my franchise quarterbacks.
Yes.
So I've got you know, I had so 13.
So there's
I had
your
13.
Top six. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Tony Romo, Phillip Rivers.
That's a good list.
It is a good list.
But it's incomplete.
But you leave off, that list leaves off Brett Favre, Donovan McNabb. I had Carson Palmer in there.
Yeah, I mean, he's just fallen on hard times. But again, you can lose your status. There was a time that Jake Delhomme would have clearly been in that group.
Well, let's get to the next group where it's a pretty
50-50
wide group, and it goes from 45% to about 65%.
Okay.
Okay.
And I won't bore people. I'll let you. This is going to be whether or not Matt Hasselbeck deserves it because he was clearly there for a long
here,
time.
At the top of this list at 62.7% is where Brett Favre is. So he's in the middle.
That is weird.
And
based on what?
I think the people.
I just hate
it. Gotta be.
It's just hatred.
It's gotta be. I hate the way
he handles himself in the offseason. Yeah. By the way, just for your Brett Favre update, which I love the sound effect. They have the big Viking horn.
Viking watch. Favre watch.
Yeah, but they use the Viking horn like they do for Minnesota games. He is mowing his sister's lawn today.
Thank you.
There you go.
But when we get to NFL news after this,
I was just giving the Favre watch.
All right, there you go.
That's its own segment.
its own segment. Then you go and you take a look at people like Eli Manning at 60%.
Matt Schaub.
Donovan McNabb, 56.7%.
Joe Flacco.
Matt Schaub he's 54.9%. Flacco is at 45.3%. Carson Palmer's at 45.6%. Matt Ryan is at 49%. And Ben Roethlisberger at 47.4%.
And so that's really interesting. So how many teams are left at this point?
At that point, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 teams.
Remain
that their guy didn't at least get 45% or more.
Now, I do think that that's fair to say that for the most part, the people that remain here are not franchise quarterbacks. And again, just for those who don't know how to read or don't take the time to go out to NFLRNR.com, and if you don't, why? So for those who can't read or for some reason just don't go out to our website and you can read and didn't read the article, the point that I was making is that it's not that these are guys that you could build a franchise around. It's that these are guys who have established themselves. So I admit to having made my own definition of what it means to be a franchise quarterback, but for any intelligent discussion, you have to have a jumping off point.
Right.
So I just came up with the one with the leadership and making people around you better and winning games and things like that. And so those are the criteria. And I came up with 13. Steven came up with 12, I believe. Was that correct?
I was 10.
You were 10, and I was 13, so I was a little bit more generous. But let it be said and let it be stated by even this largest poll in the history of NFL rants and raves that half the teams in the league do not have a franchise quarterback. I'm just speaking in broad generalities. I like broads. That in broad generalities, half the teams in the league do not have a franchise quarterback. They may prove to have one.
I don't like broads.
Mark Sanchez. Well, there's the classic Steve Martin line from Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. Dames. They rip out your eyes, reach down, pull out your heart, throw it on the ground, step on it with their high heel shoes, slap it in the broiler and cook the bleep out of it, serve it to you for dinner and expect you to say, "Thanks, dear, it's delicious." Dames.
There you go.
Love that line. Okay, so half don't, and yeah, Mark Sanchez could become one someday. Totally possible.
And he's close. He got 26%.
But it's too early to say. It's way too early to say.
But my question is, for the people who gave...
Matt Cassel. We don't know. Could be.
The people who gave Sam Bradford a vote, why wouldn't you give Mark Sanchez a vote?
Yeah, exactly.
He at least had
a playoff run.
And he took him all the way to the AFC
Your
Championship
guy
game.
Hasn't won an NFL game.
Yeah.
So, see, again, the criteria is winning... and making people around you better, and that basically means you have to have seen the field.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Now, yeah, I put Sam Bradford there. I should have probably kept Mark Bulger, but it was right at the time where the draft had happened and the switch had made.
Well, it don't matter, Steven. It's not going to change the fact that the Rams today do not have a franchise quarterback.
They don't.
They may have one on their roster, but they do not today.
Kyle Orton and the Denver Broncos?
Not.
Two votes.
Two votes for Kyle Orton. Wow. I wonder how many of those came from former Bears fans. I don't know. Just curious. And speaking of Bears, Jay Cutler, where does he come in?
Jay Cutler. He got 11%. That's 43 votes.
Wow. So... I was going to do the math. That's just over 10%. You said 11% already, didn't you?
Yeah.
What was my line yesterday where I had this keen sense of the obvious? I came out with something really stupid.
Yeah.
It was a classic Jeffism. It was really pricelessly bad. Okay. And
I think you made your son leave.
No.
That was for something else.
No.
Yeah,
boy and I have never done better. Matt Stafford, where's he at?
Matt Stafford. Or
Matthew, as he seems to prefer.
Yes, thank you. Who does Matthew play for? Just kidding. I'm just kidding. He came in. What?
He's in the 40-somethings?
He got 23.6%.
That's fine.
91 votes.
They're wrong, but that's fine. Look, his performance in that game where he cracked his shoulder, that elevated his status in a lot of people's minds.
Okay.
But I still want to point out that he screamed like a girl, okay?
Really,
that has nothing
like
to do with whether or not you're a franchise quarterback. But his, ow! He needed more.
And by the way, we would have had a couple more votes, but Nacho, I had to throw your vote out.
Sorry, Nacho, your little shenanigans and your screwing around, fooling around nonsense cost you.
It cost you on this one. We wanted to keep the poll
clean,
nice
legit.
And legitimate, you know. And although it was,
that's
although
you,
it was funny, yes, we did kind of just throw
smack
your vote and we threw it out. For everybody, well, why did they throw Nacho's vote out?
Let's reveal what Nacho voted.
Yeah.
Let's just throw him under a bus. Since he tried to push me under a bus.
Yes.
No, actually, he saved me from a bus, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Never mind. That'd be just the opposite.
He only selected Jay Cutler. And that was his only vote. And he's like, yeah, let's see what you guys think of this one. So there you go. Love you, Nach. But we actually do read the votes that come in.
We sure do. We look at each one of the 400 and we go, is this just somebody jerking us around?
Yeah.
Who deserves? Or is this somebody who's taking it seriously? And we appreciate your Homerisms and that you may.
Seriously.
Exactly. Because he didn't even vote for his own
Tom
deep, Brady.
Craig. Coming deep just now.
I know. He didn't even vote for his own boy.
So there you go. I thought it was very interesting. But, right, I think there are 20 teams. Or so out there that don't have a franchise quarterback yet.
And since this is a quarterback-driven league, there's very few who dispute that. Can we segue to NFL news?
We're segueing
because I want to talk about the Super Cold Bowl.
NFL news! Oh, my God, the Super Cold Bowl.
Super
New York,
Cold Bowl.
New Jersey.
What up with
Hold
that?
On a second. Can you? Why does New York get their title in there?
Because the franchises are represented by the Manhattan area of New York, the greater Manhattan area to be specific, in New Jersey, the Meadowlands just across the Hudson River. Yes.
In New Jersey.
Yes, but...
So we're having the Super Bowl in New Jersey, and if you want to put / New York, fine, it's in New Jersey. I hate this New York / New Jersey.
It should be New Jersey / New York.
Yes.
But New Jersey doesn't have a team, so people don't
matter. That's where the stadium is.
I don't disagree with you. I think the fact that you have to have a mouthful to explain where a Super Bowl is.
We're not saying that the Super Bowl this year is in Dallas. We're saying North Texas.
Are you?
Yes, that's what they're saying.
Why don't you just get over it?
Super Bowl in North Texas.
But again,
because it's not in Dallas.
I'm in a minority here. I'm in the minority. I, you know, root for the Los Angeles Angels that play 15 miles south of there,
and Anaheim.
I don't have a real problem with that. So I'm going to be more generous to say,
although the stadium still says Angel Stadium of Anaheim,
that's because the city makes it, because the city paid for the damn stadium.
I walked in, I was like, that's just stupid.
Look, the city paid for it. They have the right to have their
name. They paid
for
it because they made some stupid contract with Disney when Disney was down
there. No. They paid for it in 67. Okay, when it was built originally, the city pulled out of their coffers a whole $25,000 to have that stadium built.
Okay.
Because that's what it took. Now it takes $1.6 billion to build a stadium. But back then, it took a little less. And again, I'm generous. I'm fine with the Cowboys playing in Arlington, which is 30 miles south of Dallas. Or northwest, I don't know what.
25 miles west.
Okay, 25 miles west of Dallas. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the Detroit Pistons playing in wherever it is that they play. Auburn Hills, which is 40 miles away from Detroit. I'm fine with it. I don't care. If you've got a major city near you and you want to name yourself that and play. And the New England Patriots, if they wanted to be the Boston Patriots again, I wouldn't begrudge them that, even though they play in Foxborough. I don't care. But I think they're wise to appeal to the entire New England corridor by branding themselves the New England Patriots. I think that's very smart marketing. But I'm fine. You can call your team whatever you want. And so, again, they should have just said.
Just don't call them Sally.
Just don't call them late for dinner. Yes. That's all I'm saying. And so you certainly should be able to say the New York market is hosting and not have to throw in New Jersey just because it's played in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the fact is that the New York teams, since the Polo Grounds have been blowed up, they've always played somewhere else, okay?
Yeah.
And I have a theory, which is that if at the end of the last 24 they'd blown up the UN, they could have put a very nice football stadium right there.
Yeah, I know.
24. Right there on the Hudson. It would have been beautiful.
Over. Anyways, but all I'm saying is, unlike that particular stadium, it's in a different state.
Yes, it is. But
the Angels, they play in the same state as Los Angeles.
Well, we used to be the
Cowboys,
California
and
Angels.
Dallas, they're in the same state. It's Dallas.
Yeah.
And all those other, they're in the same state.
Would you say El Paso is the same state as Dallas?
It's Texas. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
barely.
Hey, it's Texas.
It's New Mexico South.
El Paso, Texas.
New Mexico South.
No, because it's not called
or
El Paso,
Juarez,
New Mexico.
Or it's North. You choose.
it is Texas.
Them's fighting words, Mr. Okay. Too Much Love for Texas guy.
All I am saying is that we're going to a different state. Yeah, it's just right across
the border. You
don't need
a passport.
Okay,
it's just across the Hudson. You go through the Holland Tunnel, Stephen.
Yeah, I ain't going through no tunnels, by the way.
Yeah, Stephen, don't go
underground. If we go to Super Bowl, we're going to New Jersey. We're staying
in
New Jersey.
How are we going
to
take a ferry over?
We're staying in New Jersey.
Stay in New Jersey?
Yes.
I don't know anybody in Jersey.
I know anybody in New York.
I know lots of people in New York.
Okay, I don't.
I do.
All the people that I do in New
York. I got people in Queens. I got people out in Long Island.
Yeah, we're, no.
Got people in Staten Island.
Yeah.
Got people covered. All the boroughs covered.
Too much water.
Bronx. Too much water. Nice.
All right. So let's get to some NFL news.
The Super Bowl. It was announced.
It was announced.
And it took four votes. It was interesting process. Rich Eisen was kind enough to continue to pull back the curtain on the secret life of the National Football League and show us for the first time ever the actual voting. And friends, we actually got a look at Bob Glazer, and we know what he looks like now.
Wow.
Which is pretty exciting for those of us, because when we were on Sky TV last October for the International Series, they asked us on Sky Sports News, you know, if we ever see the Glazer family in America, and we had to say no. No, you know, it was Tampa Bay playing New England. We say we know Bob Kraft. You could pick him out of a crowd of 1,000 any day of the week because his face is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. But you say you go to the Glazer family and it's like, have no idea. You could have a crowd of 2 and I'd have a 50-50 proposition there. But he had to come up and vote 4 times. I got a good look at him. Yeah. I know what he looks like. So here's how it worked. Did you see it? You were working, probably.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I mean, was watching.
I know how it works.
It was pretty interesting.
They vote for the 3. There were
They're
3
in a hotel
sites.
Ballroom in vote. Dallas. Were they in Dallas or were they in Arlington?
No, I don't know where they were.
They said they were in Dallas, and you know what? I don't care if you're within 50 miles of Dallas. You're in Dallas. So it's a big city. And
I'm not in Los Angeles right now, by the way.
Okay, you're in Pasadena, but I don't mind people saying, oh, you're from L.A. I don't fight them. I'm like, sure, sure. Look, depending on how far away you're from, if you're from Tarzana and you say that I'm in Los Angeles, I will correct you and say, no, I'm in Pasadena. But if you're from Spain and you say I'm in Los Angeles, sure. That's the big city identified with the region that I'm in. I don't like to make trouble, Stephen.
I see.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, I find that very difficult to believe.
That I'm a lover, not a fighter?
Yes. Sometimes I'll you like to ass. Fight. See, exactly.
Well, right. Okay, in that instance.
Let's get back to the vote.
So here's the way the vote. They're in a hotel ballroom, and they cast silent ballots.
I'll hurt you, and I'll make it look like a bloody accident.
Yeah, your daughter said that to me.
She did. That's awesome.
She's 9.
That's awesome. What did you tell her?
I don't know. I don't even know. She was just in a goofy mood, and we were playing. We were goofing.
It's one of our favorite lines from a movie.
Yes. So you're in a hotel ballroom in Dallas. You have secret ballots that are all pre-done, and you just check your little box for which one. You don't go first, second, third, fourth. You just pick one, and all the votes come in, and then they get tabulated. And the owners actually cast the vote. It's kind of interesting. They walk up to the commissioner and they hand him their vote.
Right.
And didn't know that it worked. I assumed you'd send a proxy of some sort, but no, they did it themselves. And that was cool to see all the owners there together. That was really unusual. So this is live on NFL Network. If your cable company doesn't have it, give them a hard time because it's really good to have. And so the first votes came in. You had to have 75% agree, which what's the chance of that with 32 owners and 3 locations being debated? You had North Florida, South Florida, and you had New York, New Jersey.
New Jersey, New York, Jeffrey.
Well, that's not what it said on the ballot. It said New York / New Jersey on the ballot.
Well, I'm putting New Jersey / New York.
Okay, so the first votes come in. You need 75%. And you don't get that. Okay, yes. So we re-vote again. And all you're doing is re-voting.
Yes.
So we re-vote again. And because the thought is there's some people
nothing
that are just...
like the AP re-vote for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
No. But it is the exact same cast of characters on the ballot.
The second time
same criteria.
Yeah, but the second time around, the site with the lowest amount of votes gets tossed.
Right, but here's the thing. The thought is on the first vote, some people might not vote for New York, New Jersey because they want to make a statement.
Okay.
So they didn't want it to go through on the first vote, but they'll permit it on the second vote. Well, they didn't. So on the second vote, you still didn't have 75% of anything. So that tossed the Tampa market out
right.
of the...
North Florida.
Which was Central Florida. So it tossed the Tampa market out of the race. So now you have a 2-horse race here. You have the... South Florida, why, again, call it Miami, please. South Florida.
Well, we also use Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, but you're close to Miami, okay. So just get over it, people. So the South Florida, damn. South Florida and New Jersey/New York. What Steven said.
Yes.
And you have that vote, and you still needed 75%, and he didn't get it.
Right.
So now we have the 2 cities, and now it is a simple majority win.
Yes.
You and can at have that point,
17 to 15, right?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. Thank did you, you do that without a calculator?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
So 17 to 15, we'll get it done.
And we don't, because the results of the vote are secret, we do not know what percent it was. However, at that point, New York, New Jersey came in with as the winners, and the people in South Florida, they had live coverage there.
I hope there's like the worst blizzard ever seen.
I agree. I hope people can't get to the freaking game. Okay, road closures everywhere.
Because you know what the great commission has come out to say?
Oh, this is just
more
the beginning.
More cold weather Super Bowls are possible.
So I will be.
So now DC is going to jump in.
Yep.
Green Bay is going to jump in.
It's the nation's capital.
Philly's going to jump in.
It's the history of the. Now, mind you, again, I'm going to be taking the comments that people wrote on. So what I did was, while I was watching this thing unfold before me on live
what
TV,
did you do? Tell me.
I was just writing a little bit.
Yes.
And it's not that interesting, okay. Stephen. Tell me.
All right.
Like it's really that interesting. It's really not. It's just information, okay? I'll hold up this finger if it's really important.
Okay.
This
right.
is the important finger.
I see.
And I'm writing as assuming that New York is going to win. I'm writing along as the process unfolds because I'm really am fascinated by any time Rich Eisen and NFL Network pull back the curtain, I am fascinated by this. So I'm writing along a little thing that I think is going to be a long column on why it was a stupid idea to award it to New York, New Jersey. And I realized it was going to take too long to write that column. So what I did was the second the vote was announced and it was finally done, I went ahead and just posted what I'd written thus far, which ended up just being a couple paragraphs.
Right.
On the process and stuff. And I said, more to come later. I teased it.
And, yes, and where's the more to come?
Well,
I've been waiting.
After the show today is when I will start on that.
I see. You know.
But there was, what I thought would be interesting, and I think I want to do this for other columns, is just kind of say, here's the column I'm thinking of writing, and have people weigh in with their takes. And then what you end up with is a really cohesive column where you're certain you didn't miss anything.
See.
I think there's a lot of value in that because there's people that we had a lot of weigh-ins. We had about 20 people comment on it, on just the tease and the result. And DC Sports Fan is the one that's coming to mind right now. Ed wrote that he thought Green Bay deserved it. Milwaukee could pick up the hotel slack. And having made the drive from Milwaukee to Green Bay, no, it can't. Okay? No, it can't. Green Bay cannot support a Super Bowl. I'm going to go on the record and say you have to have a seating capacity of minimally of 50,000. So I'm going to come up with some criteria. Well, no, duh, but Green Bay doesn't, okay? Yeah. So that's the point, is that the stadium has to be large enough and the city has to be large enough for it to be a really exciting venue. Yeah. If it's going to be in a cold weather place, D.C. can certainly handle it without any questions. Philadelphia can certainly handle it, although I don't think you want a Super Bowl in Philadelphia. Just because there's parts of Philadelphia that are not as safe as others, I don't know that you want people just spreading out all over, complete strangers. The price of Super Bowl tickets being in the New York, New Jersey area is going to go through the roof. We had a question from somebody out there in the comment thread from the column that I wrote. Brief, I wouldn't even call it a column. I don't know what to call it. Some words. Said, so I'm saving my nickels to come on out because I thought I can kill two birds with one stone. Which, by the way, Chuck Norris can kill two stones with one bird. Okay? Just know that.
Nice.
It's Chuck Norris fact of the day. He wants to save his nickels to come on out and say, wow, I can see New York City and I can go to a Super Bowl. No, no, you can't. Unless you're independently wealthy, you can't. Because the tickets are going to be around $5,000. They're gonna fetch. If you want to sit between the sidelines at all, you're going to be in the $5,000 price range. It's going to be ridiculous.
I'll pay you $5.
$2.50. $2.50.
Anyways, for all of you weather folks, I did a little research. There's only been precipitation in 2 out of the last 8 years.
There was Miami last year. Had rain.
No, I'm talking about...
At the Super Bowl, it rained.
The last 8 years in New York.
Oh.
At this time when the Super Bowl will be held.
Okay.
Over the last 8 years, there's only been a rain 1 year. And a little bit of snow another year.
It's still going to be 28 degrees.
No, the average during that time, highs of 42 and lows of 28.
And mind you, there is a stipulation in the NFL bylaws that say Super Bowls cannot be held where a median temperature is under 50 degrees.
Yeah.
So they're breaking this and they say, oh, and here's the kicker. This really gets my goat. And I was very grateful to see that Peter
it's
King.
It's not good when you get Jeff's goat.
No, it is time for. Oh, man, I'm just hacked. Right. I'm hacked.
You got his goat now, I am hacked. People.
How
you got the goat.
How dare you go and invoke the memory of September 11th as a reason to justify having a Super Bowl there? It's going to help the economy recover from September 11th.
Oh, did by they the
time
do that?
That, yes, the commissioner said that by the time it's played, it will have been 13 years. I think we're fine.
Oh, you got his goat.
God. You know, just come up with weenier reasons, please.
I'm kind of hiding from him right now, people.
You can't hide behind your spit guard.
I'm not looking into his
eye. Your spit guard is not big enough to hide your head.
I'm not looking in his eye right now. They got his goat.
Oh, that is so ingenuous, disingenuous, and so just, again, it's exploiting. It's exploiting a tragedy. And anytime someone exploits a tragedy, and I'm going off here.
Jeffrey,
the British Petroleum oil spill. Stop needing to blame somebody, okay? It's the president's fault. It's BP's fault. It's the Coast Guard's fault. It's the people of Louisiana's fault because they should never have lived there. People, this is a horrible tragedy. We need to fix it, period. Stop blaming people and start fixing it.
Oh, gosh.
I am so sick of this human built-in need to blame somebody. There will be a time. We're still finding out things about the sinking of the Titanic. Okay? We're still finding information.
It wasn't the iceberg's fault.
I don't remember what information just came out. Something just came out in the last year that we'd learned about the sinking of the Titanic.
Are you okay now?
I think I got a little bit off my chest.
You're going to pop a blood vessel there.
I think I got a little bit off my chest. I'm feeling a little bit better.
Jeffrey, I want to give you permission. If I die a tragic death, I want you to exploit the bejesus out of it, okay? I mean, just
15 years later, we're doing this for Steven.
Yeah, milk it for all that it's worth.
I'm going to be 99 years old, and I just want people. I know Steven died 30 years ago, but we're going to have a moment of silence for Steven right now. Especially if it makes me money.
Because he would.
Especially if it makes me money.
He would have wanted it that way.
He would have wanted that. That's the thing. Dude, when what's his name? The speed driver. The Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah.
When Dale Earnhardt died.
Yes.
I was working amidst many NASCAR fans at Disney.
Yeah.
And I tell you, for weeks, no matter what happened in NASCAR, they were dead serious, but I found it hysterical. Dale would have wanted it that way. Dale would have wanted it that way. I'm like, how do you know? You never met the man. No, Dale would have wanted it that way.
He would have.
Bobby Joe went and won the Piss on Ants Hill 500. Dale would have wanted it that way.
All right. So
Dang.
We got Jeff's goat. Now, this is a little bit more NFL news. Big Ben Roethlisberger allowed by the commissioner to go back and resume his activities with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so today, Jeffrey, he's back at practice at OTAs with Pittsburgh.
Sometimes it's a you know that he knows that you know that he knows kind of deal.
I'm not very happy about that.
About Ben being back with the team?
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. Nah. That's funny. I'm okay with it. It's a 4-game suspension. It's a 6-game suspension that if based on good behavior may roll back to 4. For the regular season, Steven. And so there is a specified period of time where he will not be allowed to be near the team at all.
Look, you are now being very loosey-goosey with your punishments. Some players, you can't participate in anything that the team does, and you can't come back until maybe a week before your suspension is lifted. Other players is, you can do the OTAs, but you can't participate in the games. And other players is, we don't even want you around forever. Get away. No. If you're going to make punishments, make them the same. Make them the same. That's my problem with it.
Okay. I wonder what Howard would think.
I find it a rather tedious forehead.
So, I'm with Howard on that one.
I find it a rather tedious forehead.
It's starting to bore me a little bit. Just make it the same. Don't let someone come back to practice. Just let them ride it out. Be a punisher and punish people.
Well, you don't know what Ben's been through the last, say, 8 weeks. Okay. What we do know for sure is that he's been going through intensive counseling and screening from all sorts of people.
Okay.
And being somebody who occasionally gets involved with the screening of individuals, I don't think it's fair to say one way or the other. The commissioner is probably in a better position than anybody else to be able to make these decisions. And so,
I understand
and
that.
The commissioner has been a he is his perception is that he's tough but fair. And that is the perception of Roger Goodell, and I tend to agree with that perception. So if he says it's time and Ben can be back with the team for the last week and a half of OTAs, I don't see why that's a problem, especially because once the season starts, he's not going to be anywhere near the team. And if there's going to be continuity at quarterback, eventually, there's going to be 6 weeks, could be four, could be eight, could be the rest of the season, depending on how he comports himself, that we don't see him at all on the sidelines for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he needs to stay connected to his teammates. And I think that to take away, again, we had this issue with some players that weren't doing the naughty, naughty things that Ben was doing, but were doing the illegal things involving guns and things. You take them away from the structure that provides them the a certain amount of continuity for their lives.
That's what I'm talking about.
So you want to know if Ben's really rehabilitated by taking him away from all football. Let's see what happens. Let's see. Is he going to go crazy and do something stupid again?
Right.
And the only way we'll find out is to take away the structure.
And that's what I'm relating to. Some of those players who they did get everything taken away from them.
And then they proceeded to make really poor choices.
Okay. So, yeah, they got caught. They had some guns in the back of their trunk. Okay.
At Taco Bell.
Sure.
Because when I go to Taco Bell, I'm always packing.
They didn't really hear it. They didn't hurt anybody. They didn't do anything really wrong. Except they had some guns in the back of their trunk. Okay, yeah, that's illegal. But it's not like they went to jail or anything like that.
How did the police find the guns in the trunk?
I don't know.
Because somebody got shot.
No. In these particular cases, nobody got shot. There was no discharging of the weapons. And the commissioner, boom, comes down on them. Player can't do anything, participate with the team, anything. Ben Roethlisberger is still... Well, I don't know. Is the civil trial
that seems the case has been dropped.
It's dropped now.
The case has been dropped. And that's part of what factors in here is that he was convicted and wasn't even charged with a crime. But everybody who knows anything about the case knows that what he did was in horrible taste.
Yes.
And very well could have, if it had gone to trial, it may not have gone well for him. Because, I mean, everybody knows what went down was really gross.
You get caught with a gun, even though you don't hurt anybody, that's bad. You can't do anything.
Well, in the case of Plaxico, you go to prison.
You shake your snake out at somebody, and we're going to give you a pass. That's okay.
Well, minimally, you should get it cut off.
Well, it didn't, and he's back in practice today.
Yeah.
That, you know, Pete, just do it the same. Everybody, you just go and take care of your issues. Get out and... Take care, get your head on straight, and then come back to football.
Get your head on straight. That comes from a guy who rode a motorcycle without a helmet. I don't know that Ben's going to be making great decisions. So there's got to be some point where we go, Ben's making good enough decisions.
All right. Well, Jeffrey, it looks like Randy Moss is starting to prepare for life after the New England Patriots. He believes that it is unlikely he will return with the Patriots after the 2010 season.
After the 2010 season?
Yeah.
But he's playing this year. Don't scare anybody.
He's
not like going to the bench.
It's not like that's
happening. After
the
2010 season, he is kind of going to the bench. He's looking for a new agent.
Well, and that's good because if you're not happy with your representation, you need to move on, especially if you're somebody who's done significant things like Randy Moss has. Yes.
The reports have come out that Brett Favre has had surgery on his ankle.
That is correct, which is significantly ahead of when we had it.
Expected, yes. Someone claimed that apparently we don't give Brett Favre respect on the show.
We don't give him respect?
Yeah.
We just got done the first 15 minutes of the show explaining why he's not just a franchise quarterback, but a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more respect you get than that.
I don't know either. I was like, dude, what? I've been like a strong proponent for Brett Favre to do whatever he wants.
Steven went to Green Bay and bought a purple Favre jersey and wore it.
I don't know
how much more love you can give than that. Now, if you're a newer listener, we are very critical and maybe this is where you're going, Stephen, of how he handles himself in the offseason.
Yes, and that's what I said. I was like, I love Brett Favre. I'm not a big fan of what he does in the offseason.
Mowing lawns not being a bad thing.
Yeah, no, you can do that all you want. That's cool. But
if you should be with the team.
I didn't know where that came from, so I just needed to
Shed some light. A lot of people are new. I'm always amazed on talk radio. I'll hear somebody who's like, I just tuned into your show for the first time, and you're the biggest bigot I've ever heard in my life. It's like, well, if you just tuned in for the first time, do you really have enough to go on to make those kinds of character judgments? Or do you just not know anybody else, and so you're the biggest anything? I just always want to know. Because if you're brand new to the show, anything we say could be taken very, very badly. But if you've known us for years, you know where we sling, how we swing, and you know that...
How we sling?
How we swing? Swing is what I meant to say, and sling slinky came out. Slinky, slinky, for fun it's a wonderful toy. It's slinky, slinky, it's fun for a girl and a boy. It's fun for girls and a boy.
Okay, for girls and a boy?
One boy. It's
a whole bunch of girls.
And one boy.
Just one boy like it, all the other boys.
His name's Ted. Stop it.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
All right. Any other news you got going on? What about shocking?
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Shockey had a seizure in the locker room.
Yeah, dude, that scared me. That scared me.
And stuff. It was a little scary. And I think that it is the beginning of a new curse. And it is the curse
where Jeff
Ellis leaves your Super Bowl champion.
What the hell am I wearing right now?
But you're leaving the team. And you're just wearing the shirt to wear it out. You're wearing it out because you need to buy a new shirt for a new team. You're wearing it out, dude. You got nothing to say. See, I'm right. And the Saints are aware of this. It has begun.
That's mostly true.
So you are just wearing all your Saints gear just to wear it out now?
Well, I've got to, because if it stays in pristine condition, what do I do with it?
You'll keep wearing it next season?
Well, no. It's just what's the point of having – I don't like to have clothing around that
By
I'm not
the
wearing.
By the new sports place over there, what's it called? Dick's. Yeah, they're having football jersey sales. You may want to go find stuff.
When?
Like this whole week.
Really?
So yeah, because they're trying to get rid of stuff to make stuff for the new stuff for next year.
Why would they be dumping NFL gear in June?
Because nobody wants to buy NFL stuff in June.
They should have sold it in February or March.
There you go. But they're selling it now on sale.
Trying to
go find a new team.
I got to get myself my World Cup jersey, man. My USA World Cup jersey. I'm so excited.
Oh, gosh.
I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it.
World Cup schmup.
Dude! So you will not be in my house at 11:30 on the 12th to watch us kick the living crud out of England.
No.
And I learned this factoid, which scared me to death.
Yes. Oh, you're scared?
Well, it concerned me about global affairs.
Yes.
The Welsh, the Scotch, and the Irish.
The Scotch? Or you mean the Scots?
Scotch, whatever.
Scotch is like a drink.
I like scotch.
Yes,
if it's good scotch. Good scotch, okay? Let's just
be
clear.
The Welsh, the Scots.
And the Irish.
And the Irish.
Are all rooting for America.
Heck yeah, USA.
USA. USA. I mean,
Why on earth would you think that those three...
Because you're one country. You're called the United Kingdom. United Kingdom.
Do you think they're really united?
Not the disunited kingdom.
Do you think they're really united?
Not the united in name only kingdom.
I think there's a lot of history there.
There is. There's some bad blood.
You and I don't understand.
Dude, I do, because we used to be Brits. And so we liked it enough that we left. Formed our own country.
So we weren't Brits.
Had a little war.
You and I had nothing to do with Brits.
I have British ancestry.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I'm about at least a quarter English. About a quarter English.
All right. Well, not
that's my
me.
Affinity for the country.
I got nothing to do with England.
No, you're a Blaxican. So come on.
I'm
talking to Rich, and I'm trying to get him to explain this to me. Rich is Scottish, and he's like, "Of course, we'll be rooting for the Americans." I'm like, how can you root against your countrymen? They're not my countrymen. Like,
they're
what?
Not.
I'm like, well, you guys share a flag. You share a queen. You guys share a parliament. I'm like, come on, this is ridiculous. And he's like, he says, well, I mean, if Canada was in it, you wouldn't root for them. I'm like, of course we would. If Mexico was in it, you wouldn't root for them. Of course we would. We support our neighbors.
I'll root for Mexico. I'm not sure I'm rooting for Canada.
Come on. Seriously.
Seriously.
If they were playing us, I wouldn't. But we would never. Most of the Americans I know, whenever there's a big soccer match, something like that, like I walked in last week on the friendly between England and Mexico, and which was such poor form. All these English people in a Mexican restaurant poo-pooing the Mexicans who are serving you food and maybe spitting in it if they have any common sense.
Yeah. There was noogies in that food.
I hope so, because those Brits were just being so rude and obnoxious. Mm-hmm. And to go to a British pub and just celebrate your brains out. There's plenty of them around here. Don't go to a Mexican restaurant when you're playing Mexico. But I was rooting for Mexico because they're my neighbors.
Yes. We lost, though.
I know. We. You said we.
I did. I'm half.
Which half?
Mexican.
So I was like from the waist up, from the waist down. I was like, or the left or the right hemisphere.
I see.
Which half? My right half is Mexican. So... Yeah, it surprised me greatly to find out that as North Americans, we kind of hang together and we support each other. The Mexicans root for the Americans generally, as long as it doesn't affect them. The Canadians root for the Americans just because they feel like they're supposed to and they don't want us to get mad at them. But in Great Britain, it's not that case. In fact, Great Britain is a misnomer. It's a great animosity Britain.
Yes.
Great animosity Britain. They still go back hundreds and hundreds of years of hatred, and they just revel in it for some reason. And it's like, anybody who's going to beat England, go for it. So that surprised me. That's just it. That just surprised me. Where were we? I got off on that tangent.
You did get off on the tangent.
Where were we?
I think it's time for us to move
now
on.
It's time to say goodbye.
Time for us
to
jump
our company
in the time machine.
Well, Steven, I have a sound effect for that if you give me a chance.
Okay, well,
I got to
find it. It's
time
for us to jump in the time machine.
I don't know where it is.
It's time for us to jump in the time machine.
That's the closest I can do.
It's time for us to jump in the time
machine. Stop teasing me. Okay. I can't find it.
All right, well, there you go.
You just got to deal with the whoosh. Mr.
Today we salute you, Mr. Way Too Proud of Texas Guy.
Yes, I am way too proud.
We don't have a time machine, but we have a
flashback.
Okay, well, we'll take
that's
the
pretty
flashback.
Close.
We'll flashback to 2007.
I've been looking forward to this. We've been talking about this for 6 years, Steven.
For 6 years?
Okay, 5 years. We've been talking about this for 5 years, that you cannot evaluate an NFL draft until you get 3 years out.
That's right.
We've been saying this for five years.
Been 3 years out.
It's been more. It's been five. But we're going to go back to a particular moment in time.
We never went back to 2005 or 2006.
And we are inaugurating a new tradition here in NFL Rants and Raves land. And the new tradition is simply we are going to go back every 3 years. We will go back and look at the draft from 3 years back.
Yes.
Poo, ha, 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 ha. Poo, 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 ha, ha, ha.
Holla for a dollar.
We'll start out with the number one pick overall, where the Oakland Raiders had plenty to choose from.
They did.
Names like Calvin Johnson, Joe Thomas,
Adrian Peterson, Teddy Ginn, the Beast, Patrick
Darrell
Willis.
Revis
Island.
They decided to go with quarterback Jamarcus Russell against the wishes of then-coach
Lame
Kiffin.
Did I say lame again?
You did.
That's mean.
Did.
That's mean. But, dude, the look of who's who and what's what of the 2007 draft is really stunning. You have guys that most of the guys here, well, half the guys in the first round and even in the second round, are names that you recognize if you follow the National Football League. Okay. But there are some that are just conspicuously not on my radar anywhere. And some of it's because they play, say, defensive end or something like that. But more often than not, it's because they really haven't worked out. And I'm thinking specifically of, like, I can't say for sure, but Adam Carriker, who went to the Rams in the first round. He's a defensive end, for example. And I don't know much about him. He doesn't stand out at me as some elite player. And I don't know what his story is. Maybe he got hurt. I don't know. Don't know. But most of the guys in there, you've got Calvin Johnson. My gosh, everyone knows him. And Adrian Peterson, if you don't know him, you're not playing, watching the game at all. Well, if you don't know Patrick Willis.
Let's start with the number one pick, and we'll take a look at the Oakland Raiders as a whole for that draft. And then we'll probably do that for the first, what, top 10 teams?
Sure, top 10 teams.
Gotten any better.
So at the time, the Oakland Raiders, according to one of the websites I found, gave them an A for their draft. Yep.
That included
Zach Miller,
quarterback Jamarcus Russell, tight end Jack Miller. Zach Miller.
And Michael Bush.
Wide receiver Johnny Lee Higgins in round three. Michael Bush in four. Cornerback John Bowie in the fourth also. They had a lot of picks that year.
They did.
The Raiders had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 picks,
which is a lot. Anything over there's seven rounds.
Yes,
anything over seven means you got a lot.
Right, they had a lot.
Yep,
didn't pay off much.
No,
starts with number one overall, and 3 years later, he's no longer on your team.
That's bad. When your number one pick 3 years out is no longer with the organization, your draft immediately gets the big letter grade of an F. Because you wasted a lot of money, and you could have had Adrian Peterson? Seriously?
Calvin Johnson, the wide receiver?
You could have had Calvin Johnson. Now, mind you, he's not the fastest human on the planet, Al Davis, but he's pretty dang good.
Yeah, here's then there's Quentin Moses, the linebacker that they took in the, what round was it?
I don't know that.
I'm sorry. In the third round. Who's the first third-round pick from Georgia. They drafted him as a defensive end. He didn't even make the squad. He's now playing linebacker for the Miami Dolphins.
Well, happy for him.
3 years
He's on a team that wins games.
So you're saying he escaped.
It was an upgrade.
Zach Miller has been
He's been
decent.
Serviceable.
He's been decent.
We don't know exactly if he had a good quarterback, if he'd be any better. But I think he's a good, well-rounded tight end. He blocks well, and he receives the ball well out of the backfield.
Third round pick Johnny Lee Higgins has been a decent kick returner, punt returner for them.
Yeah,
but as far as a wide receiver, he hasn't.
No,
done
he hasn't washed. He's been a wash.
And Michael Bush has been okay. He's had a couple games where he's been like, "Whoa, look at that guy run the ball."
Yep.
But he's had some games where it's like, "Who the heck is running the ball for the Raiders?"
Right.
So, he. It was a fourth-round pick, so it was a decent selection. But
all in all, though, Steven, you have to say that the Oakland Raiders draft from 2007 was a pretty much
far
a bust.
From an A.
Far from the A that it was given at the time, which is why we don't give letter grades at the time.
That's right. That's right. It was nowhere near shape or form an A. And I think, bottom line, if you just look at the number one pick, and it's Jamarcus Russell, and you see the big names behind him, that have produced
Calvin Johnson.
Just look at that. Just look at
Adrian Peterson. Would you not settle for Ted Ginn over Jamarcus Russell?
Well, you can say
yeah, because he'd still be
Jr.
playing.
Produced more than Jamarcus Russell.
Way by a factor of 10, and he's been a disappointment.
Yes.
That's how bad the pick was. Teddy Ginn has turned out to be a disappointment, and he by a factor of 10 is better than Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah.
But for the simple fact that he's playing in the league. But Amobi Okoye, Patrick Willis, I mean, my gosh, Darrell Revis, these guys are studs. These are the guys that we're talking about with Pro Bowls,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. The second round pick, second number all pick overall, was wide receiver Calvin Johnson that went to the Detroit Lions.
Great pick.
And I think the Lions couldn't have done any better unless perhaps they might be taking Adrian Peterson. But I think at the time, the Lions were...
They were given a B, Steven, at the time for their draft.
Yeah.
And I think that actually has held up over time.
They
had a good draft. They didn't have a great draft, but they had a good draft. Their first pick was outstanding. Yes. But after that, it was okay.
Okay.
And they've turned out, again, when you have a team that needs every single position.
Their second round pick was Drew Stanton on Michigan State, and that really hasn't panned out.
Not at all.
When you go in Forrest, look, they had to take another quarterback.
Right.
So that didn't work. Defensive end.
But again, in that draft, whom that should they have taken at quarterback?
Okay.
There weren't a lot.
No. Ekaiki Alana Francis.
Amen.
Defensive end from Hawaii. What are you amen about that name?
Amening. No, it just sounded like some Latin phrase that you should say amen after.
Well,
amen.
Well, the dude's no longer on the
team.
Felt
like I was in St. Peter's Square for a second.
And I think this is my problem with a lot of these first picks that these top teams in the top 10 that we're going to take a look at had. That they, in the second and third rounds, I believe you need to pick players that are going to be solid starters for your football team.
Yep.
Rounds 1, 2, 3, and maybe even 4, you got to find starters for your football team that are going to be around and helping your football team for a while. You can, in the 5th, 6th, and 7th round, that's when you can just, hey, you know what? I'm going to try out this guy, see what he can do for my team. Maybe, possibly, if he doesn't make my team, all right, so what? You can't have a guy that you take in the second round and 3 years later, not be on your football team anymore.
Absolutely. If he's not on your team, you failed somewhere.
I don't think that there was a B. I think Calvin Johnson is the only home run that they hit. They better hit a home run when they're picking number 2 overall. But other than that, they got a whole bunch of strikeouts, and I would give them a C-plus just because Calvin Johnson would give them a C-plus. Nobody else on that list for Detroit.
Wow. So you're gonna move them down a little lower than that.
Yep.
Okay.
Then we take a look at the Cleveland Browns, and with the 3rd pick overall,
third pick in the 2007 NFL draft, the Cleveland Browns take Joe Thomas, offensive tackle from Wisconsin.
And at the time, remember, this was the I can't believe that the Cleveland Browns passed up Brady Quinn. It was amazing. He was there for them for the
taking. Yeah, he's right there. He's wearing his little gear. He's got the pictures of him with his little Cleveland Browns outfit on from when he was a child. You went and wasted it on an offensive tackle who's gone to be an all-pro second teamer in his second season in the league.
Well,
thank you very much.
This was a great pick for Cleveland.
Great pick.
Joe Thomas has started all 16 games in all 3 seasons he's had.
Nice.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's the point. That's where you should be at this point in your career.
That's what I want. When you go back and you look, man, this guy has started 16 games all 3 seasons.
Think he might have been a good value.
That was solid. You knew what you wanted. You knew what you needed. Good. But then Cleveland, then all of a sudden they read all the hype and all the backlash that they were getting.
I guess
so. They traded back up to the 1st round to get Brady Quinn with this 22nd pick overall from Notre Dame. And I think they didn't want to disappoint their fans.
Steven, I think they thought they had something great. Again, this website I'm looking at has them in the group with they got an A for their draft. And again, aside from Joe Thomas, there's not a whole lot that just kind of ferreted out there
in the positive direction. In the second round, they got Eric Wright, and
that was another great
pickup. That is another kid. I think his rookie season, he only started 13 games, but since then he started all the games.
Yep.
So that was another good pickup there at the cornerback position,
DB
for Cleveland. And
out of UNLV, that's some good scouting.
But the Brady Quinn fiasco really backfired, and that's why I think it now downgrades their draft here in 2007 down to like a B-.
Had they not made
that play for Brady Quinn
and just stayed in the game,
stay with
your board, who's the best guy on your board at this time,
and
not cave to the pressure of the fans.
I think it would have been a lot better.
I think it could have been probably one of the best drafts in the history of the Browns. Instead, it was a good draft that could have been a great draft.
Then, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, fourth overall, that's when they selected Gaines Adams. And obviously, we all know that Gaines Adams passed suddenly earlier this year.
Yep.
He had been traded away to the Chicago Bears for the in the middle of the 2009 season. So he started 8 games his rookie season with Tampa Bay, played all the games with Tampa Bay in the second season, and then midway through the third season, the Bucs shipped him to Tampa to Chicago. I'm sorry. And then at the end of last season, beginning of this year, Gaines Adams passed away. Can't really say. I think Gaines got caught up in the Tampa Bay, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were in transition.
They were in that very much a transition time after
and so,
Gruden left.
So he was drafted by one regime, and then a new regime came in, and they didn't really know how to utilize him. They were like, you know what, Gaines isn't really the guy that we would have taken possibly. And so he found himself going to another team. I think that
what did they get for Gaines Adams? I don't recall.
I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay,
I'd have to look up.
Don't worry about it.
But Chicago, he didn't play much with Chicago. He was there for 10 games. He didn't start any of them. He came in situational as a situational player. And never
It's hard speaking ill of the dead, but he was a disappointment.
Yeah, he really didn't. He didn't live up to. To much of of the expectations. Yes, you're right. So that's but the rest of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers draft there in 2007 after Gaines Adams, and I think this is one of those drafts where it's really hard to talk about because
what are we still not far enough out to know?
No. It's not that. It's that the regime that took these guys is no longer there with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We can't hold them accountable.
Right. It's like I inherit a team today. You can't hold me accountable for the players that somebody else selected 3 years ago.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because whoever picked these players had a vision that they were going to use these players in some sort of fashion.
Right.
When a new regime comes in, well, they may not have their whole regime might be completely different of how they're going to manage their players and how they're going to run their schemes. Does that make sense?
Yes, it absolutely makes sense because you've got different people that are taking responsibility now for the product that's on the field versus right. people that were there before. But I look at the people that were there before, the John Gruden era,
right.
and I don't see, aside from Savvy Piscitelli, I don't see names that I even recognize, Steven.
Well, you know, they took an offensive lineman, Aaron Sears, in the second round, and he didn't live past the 2008 season. Piscitelli, the safety, is still on the team, but he has had spot starts. Mm-hmm. He's not like the full-time starter there for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's a mixed bag, I think. And
Darby, you know what? There's a name in the 36th, the 7th round, 36th pick, 246th overall. Kenneth Darby, the running back, may emerge as a good running back.
Yeah, but
may. But I'm saying that's a reach.
Yeah, but he may emerge as a running back, but he's not playing.
He's not
with
doing it today.
He's not playing with the Bucs either. He's been since I think he's with the Rams.
Okay.
He's with the Rams now.
Okay.
So they saw some potential.
Well, I'm trying to evaluate what Tampa Bay did in 2007.
Right.
And did they identify talent accurately or not?
They saw potential, they just didn't get it out of the players. How about that?
Yeah. Okay. So what we're saying in summary is that transitions that happen between the 3-year window make it really hard to talk about them.
There you go. The Arizona Cardinals with the 5th pick overall took Levi Brown from Penn State. And you could say that was pretty much a nice play.
That was a very well played.
In 2007, which was his rookie season, he started 11 games. And since then, he started all 16 games in both years, 2008 and 2009. So,
and helped them get to the Super Bowl.
That's pretty solid production and has solidified his position down there for Arizona. That's pretty good. The rest of the draft for the Arizona Cardinals, was pretty Steve good Preston. As well. What grade did the Arizona Cardinals get?
Well, what's interesting, at the time, the Arizona Cardinals were in the group that got a B.
All right, and I can't dispute that.
But now
they had a very
viewed as a D.
What?
By sprungonsports.com. They're okay. The 3 years out.
Check this
Stevie
out.
Stevie Breston check alone out, takes it out of the D camp.
Yeah, check this out if for you a second.
Yeah.
They only had 5 picks
seriously
in this draft, okay? And of the 5 picks,
2 of them are studs.
3 of them.
Three of them. Who are you going with?
Alan Branch.
I didn't see him.
The defensive guy. He's made some good plays for the Arizona Cardinals on the defense side of the ball. And then Steve Breston, the wide receiver, without him.
No, they don't get to that Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
You know, they needed him when, like, Anquan Boldin would go down and stuff like that.
Which
and then you throw
day.
Levi Brown into the mix. That was a pretty it was a lot better than a D anyways.
I would agree, especially given they only had 5 picks.
Yeah, then linebacker Buster Davis, who they took, didn't make the team, but he's still playing football. He's I think he's with the Houston Texans right now. So they had a good eye. I think it was a good eye. Good eye.
Good eye for the good guy.
Let's finish out the top 10. Jeffrey, the Washington Redskins safety LaRon Landry. I think that we can say he has been
he's established himself
pretty much a force there. He has started in his 3 seasons all but 1 game.
Wow!
So that is something that goes to show you. Now, last season, I think he struggled a little bit in coverage, but the dude can hit
hard.
Now, he needs to stop talking smack, I think, about receivers who he claims don't want to get hit. But he has shown that he can play the game the way it needs to be played at the free safety position. And I think that was a solid pick by the Washington Redskins. Once again, when you get a player in the first round and he produces like Landry has produced, it's pretty good. The rest of the picks there for the – once again, this was another – and why is it that, like, every 2 years the Redskins only have 5 picks?
Because they trade away all their picks to get good players they think are going to produce and become something. They sign these guys and, you know, to big so fat contracts
was,
and give
was,
up draft picks.
It was good that Washington hit a home run with LaRon Landry because they
there's nothing
he
else.
Was their number he was their first round pick. They got him at number 6 overall. Then they didn't have a pick until the 5th round.
Yeah, dude. They sat for a long
in
time.
In the 5th round, they took
Dallas Sarts from USC.
Didn't make the team.
Besides that, he did really well.
And Jeffrey, not only didn't make the team, he's out of football.
Right. He's working at the Quickie Mart around the corner.
He didn't make a team. He didn't make any team, not just the Redskins. Now, Blades, the outside linebacker, he's not a starter, but he plays in special situations, and he's been pretty productive, averaging between 30 and 40 tackles per season, and that's pretty good when you're just playing situational downs. So that was a pretty impressive. They took Jordan Palmer, the quarterback from Texas El Paso, in the 6th round, and he didn't make the team. He's now playing with his brother Carson in the Cincinnati Bengals. So there wasn't much that the Redskins could work with, but what they did have is with LaRon Landry and HB Blades, they got themselves a couple players that are still producing for the team, so that was decent.
You know, I'm looking at Sarts right now.
Yeah.
It's amazing, Steven. He was drafted by the Redskins in 07. He ran 4.58 at the Combine. He signed with the Redskins July, and he was released by the Redskins in September. And then he was signed by the Vikings in March of 08 and released on May 2nd. He was signed by the Seahawks in August 08 and was released at the end of the month. That's it. So I hope that his bachelor's degree in communication and business law is serving him well.
Yeah. Here now I'm getting to the place where I think you if you can get like A++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++++ plus,
yeah,
is the Minnesota Vikings. With the 7th pick overall, they take Adrian Peterson, stud. In the 2nd round, they take wide receiver Sidney Rice, stud. And it's taken him a while to become a stud.
Well, but that's the beauty.
But that's the beauty. Yeah, that's the good thing.
Development.
Yes. In the 3rd round, they took Marcus McCaulkey. Now, Marcus was let go by the Minnesota Vikings after the 2008 season, and he's now playing with the Washington Redskins. But the guy cannot actually play. They took a chance on him, didn't work out, and he did play with them for 2 seasons before they let him go. They also have defensive end Brian Robinson. Robinson's not a starter. Robinson's not a starter. He's a situational player, but he comes in, he plays games. He's actually played in all but 1 game for the Minnesota Vikings, and he has produced some decent numbers as a backup. So the Vikings, you could say, had a very, very good draft. In the 7th round, they took from Coastal Carolina, Tyler Thigpen, who he's not with them anymore. But he's
with the Dolphins, I think, now.
He's running around playing in the league.
He's one of the backups to the Chads, yes, and Pat White now. Yes. So in fact, Thigpen is probably ready to catch on with somebody else if he hasn't, because they got too many quarterbacks there in Miami.
But he's made some starts. This was a really good draft, I think, for the Minnesota Vikings. They got some players that
absolutely
are producing.
Steven, at the time, people said this is a really good draft for them, and 3 years out, we're saying this was a really good draft for them.
Yeah, so
there you go.
We're going to finish up here with the Falcons, the Dolphins, and the Texans. Let's look at Atlanta, where they landed defensive end Jamal Anderson. Anderson has, I don't want to say that he's been a disappointment, but he's not been the force.
He's
that
not
the
lived
Atlanta
up
Falcons,
to what they hoped he would
yeah,
be.
Right, the force that Atlanta Falcons has played. He's missed, I think, 4 or 5 games due to injury. Over the last couple of years, last season, he missed 3 games due to injury. And the year before that, he missed a couple. So, but you know what? You can't fault a guy for being injured. But the amount of tackles and the amount of sacks that he has produced have been very limited. I think he only has 2.5 sacks in his 3-year career.
Yeah.
That's not what you want from the stud defensive end that you thought you were getting.
I think he was moved over to tackle, is that they're like, this isn't working out.
Yeah, that's gonna obviously affect where you are a little bit. In the 2nd round, the Atlanta Falcons took Justin Blaylock from Texas, guard on the offensive side of the ball, and he has been pretty solid for them. He's been a pretty good runner. A pretty good run blocker. He has started all but 2 games in his 3 years there with the Atlanta Falcons. A couple other names that you might know, Jeffrey.
Well, what jumps out to me is the guy who really saved their season when the burner went down, Michael Turner. Jason Snelling, the fullback,
who they picked up in the 7th round.
7th round, 244th pick overall, yep, came in and posted multiple 100-yard gain seasons as a fullback, converting to running back. And he's a beast to bring down. He's a load and a half, and that was their final pick. Yep. And so you put all that together, and you bookend it with a Laurent Robinson, and you're like, it was okay.
In between there, you got a linebacker, Steven Nicholas, who is playing some good ball. Last year, he became a full-time starter. So, and this is a guy that they picked up, the 4th round or something like that? So 3rd round.
But again, given the players that were available at the time, I think this was an average draft. I don't think it was a good draft. I don't think it was a bad draft. It was just kind of middle of the road.
I think that they got value, though, late in the round. Like Steven Nicholas was the linebacker that I was talking about. He was in the 4th round. Jason Snelling in the 7th round. They got value late,
yes,
which a lot of teams don't do.
Most people are just mailing it in or phoning it in by that point.
So there's that with the Atlanta Falcons. Now it's going to get a little interesting.
Do tell.
We got the Miami Dolphins with the 9th pick overall and Ted Ginn Jr.
But this was right before.
Talk to me with the Ted Ginn Jr., dude.
I'm not talking
Come on.
I have nothing to say about Ted Ginn except for that I hope he turns out to be a great player someday. You know, it was, is this guy going to be exclusively a run returner or is he going to be a wide receiver? Can we make him a project and turn him into an elite wide receiver? Because he's got blazing speed and he, again, just like Devin Hester in Chicago, you go, wow, this guy is so good at this one thing. Why can't we exploit that and help him evolve and emerge into a complete NFL player instead of just a special teams player?
Well,
and that was the hope there.
Well, no, he's no longer on the team, right? He's gone. And that's your number one
That's
pick.
My so point. This is what you expected.
That immediately hurts
says,
your, hurts your draft. Then second, you take John Beck, quarterback, in the second round.
Yeah.
And he's no longer on.
No.
He's with the Ravens now. So immediately, you got to look at this draft, and you're like, 1-2 picks? They're not on my team anymore.
What was the first year of the Parcells reign, though? That was 2008, was it not?
No, it was this year.
This was it? So yeah. This was Bill Parcells' first draft? I just want to make sure we're right on this.
I want to make sure I'm right, too, so let me check, yeah?
No, you checked it out, but I must say, I fear that this might be one of those ones where the old regime went in and did stuff. But it's very possible that when he was drafted that it could have been by the Parcells regime.
No, I think this was, I'm going to, yeah.
Okay, there you go. Then it was a big mistake because Teddy Ginn now being a San Francisco 49er that they're hoping to, you know, redeem and create a new career for him and get him off to a new start. It's disappointing. And most of us at the time scratched our heads and scratched our chins and said, "Really?" Said, "Really?" Didn't we?
I just can't believe that you're using that on the air. Okay.
You know, inside jokes stay inside
yes,
so frequently.
They do. Yes,
and,
they do.
You know, that's where they remain, and may they rest in peace there. but I made Steven laugh, so I guess it was worth it.
Okay.
And if anyone wants to know what it was, I'm not going to tell you, okay? I'm not going to tell you. There's secrets. Yes, we keep things from you. So, but yeah, if the 49ers are trying to make this reclamation project out of a number one first round draft pick.
Okay, wait a minute. What was this Parcells? I'm still trying to find
out. I know
out
you are.
Parcells.
And I'm trying to buy you the time to do
Thank
that.
Thank you.
But it's not working out.
No.
But I'm going to.
Who coached the first year? Did he immediately bring in Sperano?
Yes.
He immediately brought in Sperano.
Yes.
Well, Sperano wasn't hired until 2008.
There you go. I've got it right here, Steven. His third retirement happened his final year of his contract with the Cowboys in 2007, and he had faced all questions all year as to whether he would return.
At the end of 2007.
Right,
That's
and this
right.
is the 2007 draft, which takes place
after
next,
the 2007 season.
Right. So this can't be hung on him.
Okay.
It takes prior to the 2008 season, which is the first year that we're evaluating these players for.
Right.
So, I think it's interesting that he was not hired until December 19th, 2007.
Was not his draft.
So this was not his draft. And that's the reason that it's such a head scratcher and chin scratcher, because you don't know.
There you go.
And
I mean, but
that's part of the reason that the old regime had to go.
It's not Parcells' draft, but it's like almost nobody, dude. So check this out. Let me give it to me one more time. Can you give it to me one more time, please?
Give you one more time.
Give me the first five players taken in this draft for Miami. And we already know. Okay, 1 and 2, Ted Ginn Jr., John Beck, gone, right?
Lordy, I'd have
then
to go back through a lot of websites.
Samson Sotell, he's with the Oakland Raiders. Okay. Then Lorenzo Booker, he's no longer playing football. Okay.
Right. And mind you, this is the year that 2007 that began the season with Trent Green
and
as their starting
Paul
quarterback.
Ciala, so of this draft, the only player still playing football for the Miami Dolphins is their fourth round draft pick, Paul Solai, the defensive
Steven,
tackle
this is the Dolphins team that we saw play in Wembley for the first international series.
Ah, yes, I remember that.
Okay. They played the Giants there,
cracked
and that
myself
was big
up
fun.
The other day when I saw the video of me
of
and
you
the,
underground going through all the players that aren't there playing that they had up.
That was a lot of
it. Where's that video, Steven? Is that only for show donors?
Show donors, baby.
Dude, that is worth the price of admission. And the price of admission, by the way, is like maybe $5. Okay? But it's so good. Steven explaining in the underground in London. They've got one tube station all dedicated to the Miami Dolphins. And all these larger than life, I mean, you talk about fatheads. These were bigger than fatheads of all the players of the Miami Dolphins. And Steven went through each one explaining why they aren't on the team anymore, why they're hurt, why they've been traded,
why they didn't play.
And the one guy did, he cost them the game.
The kicker.
The kicker.
Jay Feely.
Cost them the game. This one guy out of this huge wall of players that actually played on the game on that day in Wembley.
Couldn't properly execute an onside kick.
There you go. That was a great video.
The final, Jeffrey, the Houston Texans with the 10th pick overall that year selected defensive tackle. If you can say his name, I'll give you a hug.
Houston Texans, Amobi Okoye. I can say that 10 times fast.
Okoye has started.
Out of Louisville. I can't say Louisville. Louisville.
Yes, in three seasons has started all but six games.
No, he's been fantastic.
So that's not bad.
No knock on him.
Let's go through what Houston all did with the rest of their draft. The number one pick was decent.
Houston was thought to have a horrible draft at the time.
They didn't have a second round pick. Their third round pick was Jacoby Jones, wide receiver from Lane.
He's so-so.
He's been a much better.
He's been a benefactor,
punt returner and kick returner. He's been good at returning kicks, and returning punts. But
as far as his wide receiving, he's really fortunate that he has a great quarterback.
Cornerback Fred Bennett has been decent, but he has only started probably, I would say, help me out here, Jeffrey.
I can't.
In three seasons, he started 16 games. So
in three
that's a
seasons,
third.
He started 16 games.
That's a third.
That would be exactly a third since there's 16 games in a season,
there
and they
go.
Were talking about three seasons. So no, I helped.
Thank you for helping, although
happy
I
to
just
help.
Said that.
Yeah, still happy to help.
Thank you.
Love helping.
Brandon Harrison, the defensive back that they took in the fifth round, is no longer on the football team. He did play in 2008 for the Texans. But that's about it, and that's it, Jeffrey. They didn't.
It wasn't
outside,
an especially
outside
strong
of Okoye
draft.
And Jones. Don't have anyone else really making a contribution to the team. Wasn't particularly strong, although they do get props for Okoye. So middle of the road there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot more difficult going through these.
Than you thought it would be?
3 years later. Yeah.
Okay, well, but now we know.
Yes.
And so maybe we won't say you can't know till 3 years out because it's just too hard.
Well, no. I think we're really clear on, I mean, look, we looked at the Raiders, the Lions, the Browns, the Bucks, the Cardinals, the Redskins, the Vikings, the Falcons, the Dolphins, and the Texans. Outside of Tampa Bay and Miami, who we really can't blame it on the current regime.
Right.
They had different regimes who were making the picks back then. Everybody else, the Raiders, you know, someone said they had an A back then. We clearly know that's not the case. Detroit's was decent. Cleveland's was wow, they give them a lion because I said they were decent. Arizona was really good. Washington was decent. They didn't have much to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And what they worked with, the Minnesota Vikings was great. It was one of the better drafts for them. Atlanta was decent. Miami, well, you know, it's not their fault that nobody that they drafted. Nobody that plays that they took that year plays for them except for one guy. And then the Houston Texans, who they were okay, but not overly spectacular. So that's the top 10 teams with the picks there. And now there's one more thing that I wanted to show you, Jeffrey.
I got one more thing to share, too.
Outside of the Arizona Cardinals and the Minnesota Vikings, none of these teams have made a significant push
into the playoffs.
Into the playoffs.
There you go. Although Miami has certainly turned the league on its head a little bit. They turned the league on its head a little bit.
Catch everybody off guard.
They're still a team that's
feared.
They
got eliminated in the wild card weekend.
But again, that's certainly not because of the regime in 2007 that selected these players.
That is correct.
So, that being said, heard on maybe the Dan Patrick Show, heard a great interview with Steve Smith. It might have been Jim Rome. I don't remember who it was. And it was
Jim Rome and Dan Patrick are the two people that are so
polar opposites.
Yes.
Yeah.
Completely different that I don't know how you can't know whether it was.
Well, Dan because Patrick. What I was so stunned by was Steve Smith.
Okay.
The interviewer.
Did he make you cry?
No, he didn't make me cry. Okay. He made me pause.
Ah.
He made me reflect.
Now, Steve Smith, the Carolina Panther wide
receiver.
New York Giant
The Carolina Panther wide receiver.
Yes.
About basically why he is resigned himself to not being a number one anymore.
Oh, he doesn't want to be a number one anymore.
No, he doesn't. And he explained it very, very articulately, very simply.
Please explain it to me.
He's done. He's just like, I still love the game. I want to play the game, but I do not want the responsibility of being a number one. And that doesn't.
That responsibility is.
Well, getting double covered all the time. And.
Newsflash, Steve. You don't get to just tell the other teams, I'm not the number one anymore.
Well, they're saying if you bring in somebody really talented that's going to at least make it so that you can't double him every time.
Yeah.
He will have a lot more fun playing the game. He has played without complaining most of his career.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now he's just saying that.
And beating up some teammates every once in a while.
Oh, sure. But who doesn't beat up a teammate from nine? I haven't, but I'm sure that everyone else has.
Right, okay.
I thought it was an interesting, thoughtful interview, and he made his case well. He's not done playing football. He's grown weary of the number one guy role, and he loves the idea of being able to coach someone up, and that he thinks that there's a future for himself in coaching wide receivers on how to get separation and stuff like that in the events of doubles and things like that. So I thought it was a really good interview, and I hope that Carolina can help accommodate him in that regard.
Yeah,
they're not in a position to really do that because they need a team.
Yes.
And John Fox, welcome to the hot seat, babe.
Suck it up, Steve. Suck it up, buddy.
He's resigned himself also to the fact that he may not get his wish.
Right.
And he may have to remain as the number one. And that's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
So that was it.
Right. Well, thank you very much. This, you get to do a little raving because, you know, every once in a while you need to do that, Jeffrey.
I do.
Rave on Steve Smith.
I got things to
rave.
Want
to give him a hug?
I do want to give him a hug, but
you know what?
We only have the little fat
since
head.
Since we don't talk about it that much, I'm going to rave on Larry Fitzgerald.
Go for it.
I don't know if y'all people are on Twitter. I don't think a whole bunch of you are on Twitter, but a lot of people are. Larry Fitzgerald does some really cool things for his fans. And it was kind of like the what weren't we ending the show with a feel good segment?
Yes, we were.
So this is a feel good segment right here.
It's going to be the hey, that's great.
That's great. All right, so here's what's great. So Larry Fitzgerald has this little, he just, every once in a while, he'll say, go to this website, find this. The first one who tweets me who's found this and can tell me what this is wins a prize. And so one night he did it, and kid won an autographed jersey, a football, and a call from Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald actually gets on the phone, calls this person who won the prize, and chats with him for about, 10, 15 minutes. You don't hear about that from traditional media.
Nope.
You don't hear about that, the cool things that the players do. You just hear about the naughty things and the shaking the snakes and the shooting up people.
And we want to bring more and more of that to
more
you.
More good stuff. So, Larry Fitzgerald, that's really cool. Props to you, my man. Fun stuff there. And just that needs to get said and stuff like that. And I'm going to make it my personal challenge to go and find more stories like that.
I told you that we want to. We want to do that on our TV show, man.
So there you go.
I want to feature the best of the NFL.
We had a quick flashback there to 2007.
Our regards to Al and Tipper Gore. They're divorcing, and our best to them.
Okay.
Just, you know.
Yeah.
Throwing out a warm thought.
Yeah, okay.
A warm thought.
That doesn't end the show with happy, good.
Well, that's I had to bring it back around to reality, Stephen. Just a hard slap in the face.
All right, this has been Stephen Miranda.
And Jeff Ellis.
For NFL Rants and Raves. Good night, people.
I think the people liked it, though. Listen. See, there's people liking it.
Does that mean Tipper found out Al did not invent the internet?